Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, weary travelers, come, warm yourself by the fire, and let us regale you with mighty tales, tales of adventure, tales of heroism, and of course, tales of Tamriel, brought to you by the unofficial Elder Scrolls pages. I'm your host, Arcaneer Silvershield, and I'm back with the man, the myth, the legend himself, Lotus of Doom. How's it going, Lotus?
I am good. How are you doing, Ark?
I'm good as well. Past week has been a roller coaster of variety of things, but I'm glad we are able to record once again.
And yeah, but kind of did the 2 week thing, and as everybody can tell, it's a back to a little condensed past for this week, just because we didn't want to have more than 2 weeks really go by without like some updates, as there has been some stuff. And next show we'll be back to the full committee of us here rambling incoherently. So
yeah. Also, Gone Crazy Back Soon in chat just mentioned you can now edit the page color on Google Docs. And this is too important to not interrupt the show with, because every time we are recording the show and every time we have to look at the show notes that we... I mean, our show notes are usually just like ramblings or just random stuff.
Yeah, I'm but blowing up my... eyes right now. My rods and cones are all screwed up looking at this.
Every time we look at it, it's like a flashbang going off in front of us. So that is good to know. We just need to know how to do that, so we are able to see while also recording this show. Anyway, so we got some stuff to talk about in terms of Elder Scrolls Online. Not much going on in the general universe of Elder Scrolls. But we also have some very big IRL event coming up that I'm gonna go into right away, because otherwise I might either forget, or also it is kind of a big deal for me and for us. So the Amsterdam event, the 10th year global, I forgot the name. The 10th year anniversary, there we go, that's the word I was looking for. Global event for Elder Scrolls Online will be happening in Amsterdam, Netherlands in April. I think the event is April 5 and 6, Friday and Saturday. And both of us will be there. There you go.
Yes.
This will be the first time we see each other in person.
In actual person.
Yes.
It's kind of wild.
And a lot of the community will also be there. So I am super excited. Like, this is...
I did not expect so many things to actually line up so that this was something that I would do, because it really wasn't on my agenda. But things did kind of line up in a way that it's like, oh, okay, I guess this is actually going to work. So, let us know if you're going to be there, because it turns out we're actually both going to be there. Ironically, a much shorter trip for you this time.
Exactly. Yeah, for once, I am closer to an Elder Scrolls Online event than you are. It's
right.
It's going to be like a 3-hour flight for me, ignoring the part I go to Istanbul first, but
mine's going to be at least double that. From I was just looking.
Double? No, like, you are flying for like 10 hours, if I remember correctly.
That's the thing. It kind of depends on apparently where, like if I have a layover or something like that. So the times listed when I was looking at it are between 6.5 and 11 hours.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like,
okay, that's actually pretty... shorter than I imagined.
So when I went to Paris 6 years, 7 years ago, That was a 6-hour flight.
Okay, so you are then very East Coast, like you are.
Yeah. Well, I okay. like. Yeah, I'm like 20 minutes from the water.
Oh, okay, that explains it.
Yeah, Boston is. There is a Boston Harbor because it's literally connected to the water.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's as far east as, but even still, it's not like short. Obviously.
I mean, it's long enough to make your butt numb. By Sid, true saying, so annoyingly long enough, but yeah, so we are both going to be there. So many Pylon is going to be there. I feel like I need to set up a recording setup that we can just do on the fly, like connect to our phones or something. Ooh, like yes. That multiple lavalier microphones with, you know, there are some of those that have like one receiver but multiple transmitters type things. So I'm planning to buy one of those so we can do like an in-person episode while we are there. Maybe interview some people on the spot. I don't know, just walk up to them and just point a microphone in their face. I'm sure that's not gonna be rude at all. Yeah.
no nonsense.
But yeah, so exciting stuff. Basically
crazy stuff right there. So I am much hype indeed.
I mean it's
like shocking because I was just so not, I had checked out completely. From like, okay, well, this is just not a thing. So that's why once it's lined up, I'm kind of like, oh, okay. And you know, some of the other people I've been talking to, Pylon is going to be there as well, so so it should, we should be able to have a pretty amusing time over there.
Yeah. And so many people are like, both from the content creation side and from the community, so many people that haven't been able to meet over the last 10 years, even though like we became friends, we became close, right. And now I can see them, at least a lot of them, unfortunately. Ooh. Not everyone, but maybe that's in the future. I don't know.
Right.
It's like, it makes me so happy.
Well, the other thing too, which is just like interesting from somebody who, like, since I didn't think I was going to go, I was just happy that this was like, I mean, you guys have the tavern over there and you had the castle thing. As well, that
well, the castle thing happened once because of High Isle,
right. The High Isle thing, but like, yeah, that Gwen the Bard was there and Oli and people like that. But I was just glad to see that something was, because the Vegas events have the same problem for people not able to get to Vegas. Like, you can't really just account for a global thing and get everybody involved, it sort of doesn't work like that.
I mean, I am so glad they are making this one in EU. I would have been crushed, like, if this was an event that I was missing. Because I can't make it to the US events, and that's not going to happen for at least quite a long while.
Yeah, quite a while.
I mean, if I were to try and get a visa now, the closest visa application appointment that I would get is, like, next year anyway. So...
Right.
Yeah, it's... So, now that... And I'm lucky that I already have a standing EU visa from the last year's Gamescom. So I'm like, oh, I saw the event and I was like, yep, buying it. Like, I didn't even consider. I was like, yeah, I have a visa. I'm going to go. I'm going to use it. And going crazy in chat says, apply 40 2025 Bethesda meet. Honestly, I do. I might be able to make it to the 2025 US ESO meetup too, but that's gonna depend on a lot of other factors, but I probably will have a US visa by then, so could potentially, maybe possibly can make that happen. Yes, that's within my plans. It's just that taking the visa takes an insane amount of time. What else? But yeah, so we'll probably do an in-person recording one, hang out with the community and all that, and it should overall be a great time. And yeah, if you are going, do let us know on Discord. So, you know, maybe we can do like a plan. We can make a plan. We can make a meetup or something like that. I don't know. I've never been to... I mean, I went to ESO Tavern a couple years back, but that was not this big an event. And no right. one... Almost no one from our community was there. So this is going to be my first experience where a lot of us from... both our Tales community and the Grand Elder Scrolls Online community right. will be there. And I have no idea how to, like, make anything happen, so... Although you have experience from Vegas, Lotus. I think you organized a bunch of stuff, so...
Oh my god, yeah. Better or worse in some of those situations.
So yeah, we'll see if we can, like... I don't know, snatch a table for ourselves or something that we can get around.
We'll figure stuff out. Yeah. It's shockingly ad-libbed while you're there.
Yeah.
Things just kind of fall into place.
Yeah, yeah. But also, if anyone knows a good lavalier mic setup that can record in crowded spaces... That's the key. It needs to be able to record with a lot of background noise... without picking up all of that. So basically something that records very close to your mouth and only around that area. I would appreciate if you send me recommendations through social media or Discord or something like that. And I'll look into it because I only have like a month to get that set up. And it's an area I don't know anything about because I've only always used condenser mics because I'm in my home. I don't have any background noise. So, yeah, I appreciate that, too. But, yeah, that's the Amsterdam news. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, this should be... I can't wait. Very excited.
Yeah.
I guess on that note, we could cover the stuff that has been happening in-game, which is kind of interesting because we... had an impromptu event that just kind of like, surprise, here's an event.
What is that even about? I don't even know.
So there was a surprise event that happened entirely in the span of between our episodes, and now we're into White Strike's Mayhem, which is
right
the same deal as always with the big PvP event, double AP, double Tel'var, he says questioningly, because I don't go in Imperial City because I don't care that much. Yeah, this event has the tickets like usual. If you do a Cyrodiil quest, you get 2 tickets. If you do an Imperial City quest, you get 1 ticket. But we'll start with the event that we missed, which was an impromptu like crafting event, which was kind of neat. So essentially, the event was to benefit crafters. You got 100% increased crafting experience. Harvesting nodes everywhere in the world were dropping double, which was pretty cool. It never includes fish, obviously, but fishing is just never, it's always excluded, and obviously surveys don't count. But the other thing, and this is why I like the event. It was cool. It did not give tickets, so you didn't have to worry about, like, oh, log in, do your ticket stuff, because I know a lot of people are concerned about that stuff. It wasn't a ticket thing. It was just, like, a fun little bonus. Couple things that... not necessarily they need to do better next time, but maybe explain better. I don't know. There were a couple issues with this event. So one of the things was Master Writs were worth double the Writ vouchers, which people kind of lost their minds over.
Right.
Except there was more to it than that. It was Master Writs that were generated as like created during the event, generated with twice the amount they normally would.
Oh, okay. So the old ones didn't count.
Correct. All it was doing was creating new ones at double the value.
Right.
So hoarding them didn't help. Buying ones that were floating didn't help. It was, and then obviously you generate them during the event. You didn't even need to do them during the event. They were just generated with that much. So that was both good and bad, but not super well explained at first. So it was kind of confusing for a lot of people, myself included, where I was like, yes, I'm going to clean up. Well, all right, I'm going to moderately clean up, I guess. Yeah. So that was good, but I mean, maybe now people know, but it could have been explained a little better. The other thing was transmuting and reconstruction costs and stuff led to a pretty major exploit, which was shut down pretty quickly. So transmuting, which is just taking the trait that you currently have and shifting it to a different trait, is 50 transmute stones, right, or the crystals. That was dropped to 25, which is great. It's just half price. That's awesome. The other thing, which was from the sticker book, is the idea of like reconstructing gear just in the trait you want, which when you have most of the set is cheaper than transmuting it. Mm-hmm. The thing was, when people would get the set all the way up, so it was only worth 25, and then you could create it for half, which made it 12, and I think it rounded up to 13. Mm-hmm. But then when you broke it down, it gave you back the bare minimum, which is 25. So by reconstructing and breaking down ones you had a full set over, you literally had a net profit of 12 crystals. Yeah. So you could just machine gun through crystals as quick as you wanted, type of thing. So that kind of got fixed.
Which also apparently got resulted in, at least the last time it happened, apparently resulted in actions like bans and stuff like that due to exploits. Although I don't know if it happened this time around, because they patched it so quickly.
They did. And to Kiz's point in chat, yeah, it was seriously like 4 minutes. And this isn't meant to be like dunking on anybody, but how did nobody know that was going to happen? Like, that's QA 101 on that one. I'm sorry. Like, as soon as that was mentioned, that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, well, if you have a full set, doesn't that just net you a pro? I don't know how that got overlooked. It clearly, you know, it slipped through the cracks or whatever. Or they didn't intend for that to happen and it went live unintentionally like that. Who knows?
Yeah, could be. I mean, sometimes some of these changes happen so last minute that QA doesn't even get a chance to go through it first. It could, like, that. I've lived through stuff that, like, patches that were released by not us, the dev team, on a Saturday while no one was in the office, and that broke everything. So it happened.
Great. Yeah. And that's what I mean. It's like, it's not the end of the world. They fixed it real quick. But I don't know. It was definitely pretty funny. However, I really, really was pretty pleased with how this event went, because I had a bunch of transmute crystals anyways, since I always have more than I need. Mm-hmm. And one thing, and I think I've mentioned it on the show before, but basically what I did, which was just a more efficient way of doing it during this event, was I transmuted a bunch of crap gear that I had picked up, just from running with people, doing various things, which we'll get into with Tales. And I transmuted all of it to Nurnkrux or Nurnkrux. And then I broke them all down, because it only cost 25 to do it. So I got double the use out of it, broke them all down. And I got like 17 potent Nurnkruxes and like 13 or something like that. Of the fortified. So ching ching, I am set on Nurnkrux for a while. Nurnkrux stonks are rising. I did at least get to utilize that really well. I was a big fan of that.
I like that. Like, not exploiting it, actually making use to
Big brain move.
as casual ranger in chat just said.
Normally I do that when I hit 1,000. Just to like burn some off. But at this point I had like, I think 800 or something like that. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. You know what? At half price, this is essentially me doing 1600 of these babies. So yeah. So that netted me a tidy little profit and let me complete a ton of master writs, which was very useful, because I'm still trying to finish the podcaster guild hall from, it's kind of a combined PlayStation and a guild hall that we have from we call it the Lorecasters, but it's basically, since I'm in both podcasts, it's this show and that show combined. And I'm trying to finish the Grandmaster crafting stations for everybody. And my God, trying to buy and or construct 77 full craftable sets is very expensive.
It's an undertaking.
We're in the 50s. I think we're at 53. So most of the way there, I'm hyper bankrupt. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It's totally worth it. We're almost done. But yeah, and then the guild hall will pretty much be complete. I just need to finish the mead hall in the middle and it should be good to go. But yeah, so that was the last event. We kind of briefly went over the current event. It's White Streaks Mayhem. It used to be Mid-Year Mayhem. It's literally the same thing.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like one of my favorite ones. We're going to have Avron on the show, as is tradition, directly after the event ends.
Promethean is going to be on the show probably as well. And then we are going to be... because he fights for AD. He's going to be pushing for AD. So
And Bronn and Pixie. Oh man, how did we outnumber ourselves?
Very outnumbered for once.
What happened?
We need some like heavy Ebonheart hitters for that episode. Bring back
them. I should. It's against my nature, but I probably. I don't know why I didn't think of this early. I should probably let Avron know that he's pushing, because she'll totally help with her horrific horde of AD scum. That's it. See, maybe we'll have to have a ranger join us. He's properly for the pact. No, quiet down, Shanty. No for the queens. Unacceptable. But yeah, so if anybody does want to help Promethean, because he will be absolutely pushing for that, I believe he's actually getting started, definitely hit up Promethean. I'm sure he would love the help. And I mean, it was super fun when he didn't push. Actually, I don't know what episode it was, but when he got crowned on the show, he wasn't even in the chat at the time. I was just like playing on the other screen while we were doing the show, because he needed to focus, and he ended up getting it during the show. Make it happen for him again now on PC, I suppose.
If only it didn't happen for AD, but we are still happy for him. We are not happy for Tamriel, because if Tamriel, if AD wins, Tamriel's gone. So
yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Makes me sad. But those are like the events currently happening. Mid-Year or White Drake is actually on for
some mayhem.
10 more days.
It's just
mayhem. It's going for a while now, so definitely collect your tickets and scoop up all that sweet, sweet AP.
Do we have any other news?
I think that's the main... Well, I guess the other thing that's worth mentioning, although no major... Like, we're not going into all the patch notes until it goes live. PTS is still currently going on. I believe we're in week 4 of PTS. So... most likely, and I do put that in quotations because we have been surprised a couple times, but usually the major stuff, which this has been pretty minor for the most part in terms of overhauls, the major changes have already kind of happened. It's a little more fine-tuning now, but there's definitely some changes. It's... Yeah, as Kiz puts it, the PTS form section is, but yeah, a gold mine of quality takes.
I mean,
it's
forums and PTS. When you combine the two, it's always...
Yeah, it's a bad combo.
Yeah.
But definitely check it out. Skinny Cheeks has been doing a sort of like weekly video update. They just kind of explain stuff, which is pretty helpful. He condenses the video down to like 18 minutes or less if you're interested from week to week. But, you know, there's some changes to the Arcanist, some changes to the Nightblade. Well, there's whatever. Once it goes live, we can have more of an opinion on it. But I tend to just like to see where the direction of a PTS is going and then let it play out. There's no point in analyzing it from week to week if it doesn't even stay the same.
I can understand it from the theory crafters and, like,
oh, without a doubt,
people who create content in that area. But for us here at Tails, it's like, until it's live, we don't really have anything to add to it or affect the change in a way. So, yeah.
Right. And it is mostly balance tweaks. And actually, like Kiz mentions. And yeah, there are some, it seems like there's some pretty substantial changes to Necro specifically more than anything else.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, remains to be seen once things go live. But that's really all of the news was the two events, this and adding me to the list in Amsterdam.
Yeah. All right, well, we can roll right in. Actually, we do have a couple shout-outs to do.
I suppose, yeah.
But we don't need to do a break because it's been only like 25 minutes anyway.
Yeah, this isn't going to be a super long episode. Yeah. It's going to be a more condensed, like a normal podcast length episode. And assume next time we have the episode and the full cast of us is here, assume that it will be, you know, the normal four episodes of most podcasts jammed into one episode. This was more of just like as an update to stuff, and we'll have a few tales to close stuff out.
So as usual, we really appreciate everyone supporting us over at Patreon.com/UESP, not UESP.com/Patreon. Although that might be a URL as well. I don't know.
Just give it time.
So this week or past couple of weeks, we have Nikator347 joining the ranks of the Patreon as well. We really, really do appreciate it. And I hope you all enjoy the rewards that you get, because every year they get better and they are amazing. I should have worn my hat. It's in the...
Oh, right?
It's hanging on the axe there. but yeah, there are some pretty cool Elder Scrolls-themed rewards for every tier, every year, all like custom-made stuff. Definitely check that out. We also have hit, apparently, because I still can't see it for some reason, 200 reviews on Spotify at an average of 4.9 stars. And
yeah,
really, really do appreciate it. For some reason, I can't leave reviews or I can't see reviews, but Lotus can. Beautiful. So
beautiful. Yeah, it just happened to pop up when I was checking to make sure the feed updated the last time we updated an episode. Other than I noticed, I was like, oh shit, we hit a milestone. So yeah, so obviously that is the newest platform we've been on, because it's literally the newest platform I think that's available for major podcasting. So,
So
the fact that so many of you have taken the time to leave us a review on there, granted you can't use words specifically in the reviews, but just clicking the 5-star thing is really helpful. So the fact that 200 of you have taken the time to do that for us is really very nice of you. And yeah, 4.9 score is that is a lot of average stars. So
and
I'm glad everyone enjoys the show.
That one break is a guar. It's the guar giving away one star.
But yeah, so that's pretty wild. That you know,
I mean, both on iOS and on Spotify, we have a very very like high rating, and it's. It's insane that we have that. I really appreciate it, and I don't know. It feels weird. Like, even though we've been doing this for years, I still
I know it's still weird to know that people enjoy it. So I'm glad. Yeah. I'm always glad that people enjoy it, especially because from time to time with different hosts and stuff like that, we do try to keep the theme the same, but we kind of have to modify it to our own stylings and stuff like that. So. The fact that people have enjoyed it through its many variations is great. I'm glad everybody enjoys it, especially through we joke sometimes listening to some of the episodes over the years as we've gotten better at podcasting and stuff like that. There are some extra cringe moments throughout this show at various points, be they audio or what we were talking about or whatever. So it's like, oh boy, sometimes you get some interesting signs of the times with stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, at some point, people recommended we do seasons or get rid of, like, a lot of the old episodes and just leave, like, the most recent ones. But then, this is now a full documentation of like Elder Scrolls Online in a way.
Which is weird. The other thing that I will say, well, one, I sort of did enjoy the idea of, I mean, it was kind of, we kind of missed the boat on that one, so to speak. Like when we switched over to joining Robots Radio, I guess when we were re-uploading everything, that probably would have been the time to do so.
Yeah.
But it would have been kind of neat to do things via era, like they do in game.
Yeah.
And just have it like, oh yeah, this is the, you know, the fourth era of Tales of Tamriel or something like that. That would have been kind of amusing, but yeah, that kind of doesn't work anymore if like we start the second era and it's episode 360. Although somebody did make Hazard, I think, made the full turnaround joke. So I guess start.
Actually, yeah. Well, see, we missed it as well. We should have planned this episode. So, well, episode 400, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I don't think any of us expected this show to go for 360 episodes. Certainly so we not. Never planned for it or prepared for it. It's just kept winging it.
And Kiss does make a point. The eras tend to end at very odd times.
That is also true.
That's valid.
Some last few thousand years, some last just 200 years. It's like.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I guess, yeah, to that point, I was going to say, I don't think anybody expected the show to go quite as long as it has. So, or gone in any of the directions it has over the years. So,
yeah.
I'm glad that it's still around and people still enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's fitting too, in a way, because UESP documents the entire Elder Scrolls from beginning to the end.
Like, right.
It's more so than being just a lore page. It documents the existence of the franchise, and then this in a way documented the Elder Scrolls Online since it's been there since day one.
Yeah, so it was there a couple weeks before the Elder Scrolls Online launched.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. I like this.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to be a part of it at certain points. It's kind of interesting.
Anyway, so without a break, we'll just roll right into our tales. And I'll start because I have just one tale when it comes to Elder Scrolls Online, because then I got distracted by Helldivers. I finally got my first companion to level 20. I have Miri leveled up to 20. I am my first like maxed out companion. I still need to do the guild skill trees leveled up, but
as important.
Yeah. So what I did after the last episode where I talked about getting my Oaken Soul ring, I realized I am able to solo Black Rose Prison on normal. So I started, like, I set up Miri as a healer with a resto staff and everything. And I just kept spamming Black Rose Prison with a like 100 or 150 XP scroll until she hit 20. And it took like 2 hours maybe. Well, it was already level 12-ish. So it wasn't super long either. It was actually pretty fast. So now that I have Miri level 20, I'm going to get Bastion to level 20 because I also have him at like around level 12.
Yeah, and you get those beta companions out of there.
Yeah. And then I'm going to go get one of the people's favorites, which I think is Ember, like by popular choice.
Ember is my favorite. Sharp as Night is a strong second place.
Yeah, so I think I'll probably get Ember and then Sharp as Night. And then forgot the name, Imperial Lady.
Isabel is really
cool. Yes.
She's actually really cool, too. Like, her story is, like, really good, too.
Right. I still haven't done the story of Miri. I just leveled up. Oh, that's true. I have story to do. Makes sense.
Oh, her story is actually – the stories of the companions are really good.
I forgot about that bit completely.
Yeah, no, actually, their stories are really good, and it's kind of funny. I did this once, and I'll be curious if you end up liking it this way or not. You've leveled them up to 20. The quests unlock based on how much they like you. So like the rapport meter. So if Miri's level 20, your rapport actually might be pretty decent type of thing.
I think it was around like 60%.
Okay, so that's actually pretty good.
Towards the good side.
Yeah. So you also get rapport, like a big chunk of it, by doing their quest. So it helps move it along. But I had traveled with Ember. No, I'm sorry. It was Sharp as Night. I traveled with Sharp as Night so much just because I was like, oh, I like Sharp as Night. And I was leveling him up anyways while I was just doing the campaign. Mm-hmm. And he just, we tend to clear out the zone. So we went fishing. Sharp loves fishing and gives you a fishing bonus. So like his rapport went through the ceiling like immediately. And when I tried to do his quests, he was already at 99% rapport or something like that. So I would finish a quest. He's like, yeah, we'll have to meet up later. So anyways, about meeting up now. So there was zero downtime with all of his quests, which was a little weird. Because normally it's like, okay, yeah, something happens. And then like a little time passes. And they're like, hey, I was wondering if we could talk or something like that. And they nudge you toward the next step. Mm-hmm. With Sharp, it was just like, all the quests are open. You need to do them now. It's like, all right.
We have fished together. Enough. We are brothers now. Yes.
We are brothers in fishing rods.
But yeah.
One of the best perks. That's the only thing. And Xander's pretty good too. We didn't mention Xander? Him. He's another.
Who's that?
Xander. He's the Arcanist companion.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got some funny dialogue. His quest I thought was a little peculiar. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was less memorable.
Oh, maybe I should get him just so I can see the Arcanist skills in action.
Yeah, the school. I
still haven't created an Arcanist character. Like, not even to test. It's all about that meme. I did play it for like 10 minutes at Gamescom, though.
At Gamescom, sure. Yeah.
Where they had the big statue that you wanted me to bring back.
Yes, I wanted
somehow,
you to just...
which was like a big... It wouldn't fit in this room, I think.
I mean, it could have only been so many thousands of pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Flip it over real quick, basically free.
I didn't have IRL ESO Plus, otherwise I would have put it in the ESO Plus bag,
yeah.
But...
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So that's what we get for not having ESO Plus at times.
But what about you? What have you been up to?
So I actually have been very busy in general, so I haven't had as much time to play, although I have had, you know, my scheduled times that I do for our specific runs and gotten a couple random things. But I've goofed with Midyear a little bit, but haven't really... I've just been in some keep fights and stuff. Nothing super of note. I just like Midyear, so I'm there. I have nothing. I have all the achievements and a max level.
Go out there and counter Promethean, man.
Yeah. Well, no, he's on PC now. I can't even do that.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I can't even grief him. So, yeah, I just kind of look where the fights are and just get in fights and get AP. I've been leveling my Sork in PvP. He's like level 20 or something like that. Mm. But I just enjoy the chaos of Cyrodiil. So that's kind of why I've been jumping out. But nothing super of note. Prior to that, though... one thing I am very excited to say, as I've been really working toward whatever achievements I have in game until we get legends, I got my last mythic, so I now have all of the achievements related to mythics. I played I play Tales of Tribute a decent amount. The RNG on the drops for these like collectible items that you get, like if you get 10 scraps, you get Colleen, the captain from the High Isle thing is where she's most prominent. That's where you can, you get her as a house guest. And then the other one is these like 10 tribute deck unusually play. I don't know what the hell they're called, but some type of card collectible thing. You get 10 of the damn things and you get an emote where you're like throwing cards type of thing.
Right.
But both of them are tethered to a 10 point achievement. So I'm like, gimme problems. The RNG sucks on those things. Right. It's just awful. Supposedly I've been told some people have been pretty lucky, but for the most part, most people tell me that they're,
you've
awful.
Always been terrible with the mythic RNGs.
Yeah, like, it's not great.
I don't know which, was it the Pale Order or something that you...
There's so many of them at this point.
Yeah.
I've lost...
I remember one dungeon in one of the base game early level areas. Like you struggled in all
so
of them.
Many.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's so many, which is what makes... So, like, I finally got that done. But that's what makes this other one, and my final mythic, which was the Dovahra Sabbatons. The last lead I needed was any dragon from the Sunspire Trial apparently can drop this lead.
Perfect.
And I got it on my fourth dragon, and there's three dragons in Sunspire. And I got it for the first time I tried the group finder.
Oh, there you go.
I tried it, and there was a group running normal Sunspire, and I was like, I don't care about the difficulty, whatever. I just need this. And I like joined, and I was like, if anybody needs gear, I don't want it. Like, you can just have it. And the we went through, and it was funny because I was like, I really wasn't sure what experience I was going to get, even if it was normal. I didn't know what the skill level was, and we were only doing it with one tank. I was like, do you want me to off tank? And the tank was like, nah, it's fine, I'll do it. And I was like, okay. And I looked at him, and he was 735 CP. I'm like, okay, that's fine, but I don't know. But he did have the like little pearlescent orbs floating around him. So I was like, well, he's definitely got an advanced set, like a trial set. So he's not totally, totally did fine. He totally did fine. The group had respectable damage. So we just kind of melted through everything. And on the final, I had one dragon prior to, because actually a couple of us, while we were waiting, we started five manning Sunspire.
what is this?
So we got through one dragon, we got up to the second dragon, and the rest of the group showed up, so we just left to go actually do the trial we were trying to do.
What kind of a casual, like, you can't just say that casually. We just started five-man Sunspire. Okay,
but it was normal. It was normal. We brought companions. It was funny. We sent Bastion to be a tank, so he just stood in front of the dragon and just got liquefied. We're like, man, he's facing the wrong way. He just killed the dragon. But like, so like, that was my one dragon. And then this group, when we killed Locestes at the end, it actually dropped it. And I was like, oh my God, I just got good RNG. What the hell is happening? So I got it. And that was my last achievement for Mythics. The other thing we've been doing, our trial team, we're officially on resetting on death in our Dawnbringer, which is the Kynes Aegis trifecta. We have been so close. It's just kind of like one little whoops has cost us a couple times, but we're right there. We just need the poll where everybody's on the same page. And it's one of the things I always say is like, it's a group thing. It doesn't matter how many times you do something flawlessly yourself. It's a group achievement. So you all need to do it. And you always got to keep in mind with these things is like, every single person in the trial has technically done the trifecta more times than they can probably even count at this point with our group. We just all need to do it at the same time and then we get the achievement. So we're right there with that. And we actually, since we haven't had any dungeon achievements left to do because we completed everything and the new ones aren't there yet, our group is like, well, what the hell do we do? Like, this is, we have 2 hours on Monday that we group for. So we actually asked our once a week raid team that we do, we're like, hey, anybody free on Monday, since we're not running our dungeons and want to do weird one-off trial achievements?
Yeah, there you go.
And our once a week team turned into a twice a week team suddenly because everybody apparently thought that might be kind of fun. And we went through and we did all of the weird one-off Rockgrove achievements. What is this filth where if you cleanse the puke in the first fight, you all four people have to cleanse it simultaneously. And normally you don't want to get four people to get it, period. you only want two. So you have to delay and then simultaneously dive in. Yeah. We got that. We got the blob thing for people. We got turtle soup where you have to drag the Hashimoto through the whole opening part of the trial and then boil him in the like geyser thing.
God.
And people had fun with it. And we were like, all right, easy enough. So then we went on to Sanity's Edge and did the thing where which we got a decent amount of people being like, "Yeah." There's this. Have you done Sanity's Edge yet, Ark? No, you haven't, right?
What is Sanity's Edge?
It's the newest trial.
No.
Okay.
I am several trials behind.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you've gone past Rock Grove, if I remembered correctly.
And I did Rock Grove on during the hands-on testing event.
So with this thing, there's basically a puzzle at one point where you fight a chimera, mm-hmm. and you have to go into these puzzle-like rooms, and you have these four orbs in the four corners of the room, and it will randomly go, like, it will the orb will raise out, it'll make a ping sound, and then it'll go back down, and then another one will, and you have to do it in the correct order to close that rift, and you go back down to the area with everybody. There is an achievement for nobody ever making a mistake.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Which, when you have 12 people all running around, especially with, like, pugs, this isn't a pug, this is mm-hmm. like our trial, but when you have pugs, people are coming in just firing light attacks off immediately and screws up the puzzle before you even get to know what it is. Like, that one took a few tries. However, we learned something when we were trying to look up how stuff works. If there was a way to determine who goes to what room, and according to all websites we found, if there is a pattern to who goes into what room, no one knows it.
Okay.
We now know it. Oh. There is a discernible pattern, and sort of. The first time you walk into the Chimera fight, mm-hmm. it determines out of the 12 people that are there, each person is randomly assigned a constellation. So that one is fully random. However, you are now permanently that position. So if you wipe, you're always going to be that position. So the initial is truly random. However, at that point on, that has been locked in after the first random pull. If somebody leaves, it then shuffles that, like it's basically accounting for a new group.
Right.
So it's moderately predictable. It's mm-hmm. just the first pull seems totally random. And after that, if you actually don't kill the Chimera in one rotation, which is in and of itself an achievement that we did, mm-hmm. and you have to go do the room a second time, that one is based on whoever the four people are that is closest to the creature's platform when it dies. That one's actually much more predictable, and people did seem like they understood that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's random, but like once it pulls the random choice, it's locked in. So it's kind of, it is random, but it's predictable after you see it once, which was very helpful because we were trying to specifically, we wiped a billion times trying to get people to not accidentally do it. Or the biggest problem wasn't don't accidentally hit it. It's, I keep shooting through it. Why won't it register? It would run out of time. Yeah. That was our problem. But yeah, it was a little peculiar. But yeah, those have been actually a lot of fun to just do the one-off achievements. And now I think there's only like one or two achievements left in trials other than the trifectas that are left. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to hit 60,000 achievement points before we get the new dungeons. And it raises the cap of achievements because right now the cap is, I think, 61,110, if I'm not mistaken.
What are you missing?
And I want to hit the just trial trifectas. Literally just...
In the entire game.
Yeah. It's just the last, the newest trial trifectas are all I don't have currently.
There's nothing like housing related battlegrounds.
No, got all that. Yeah, all PvP. It's just trial trifectas at this point. The ones that I don't have. I have some, but I don't have all of them.
That is insane.
And actually, this is a little bit out of my, a little out of my full control, but we've got this, because I'm, again, a little obsessive about some of these things. If we get Dawnbringer, I land exactly at 60,000 achievement points.
Oh, there you go.
So one of the trial trifectas remaining will put me exactly at 60,000. Right before we get the new dungeon.
No,
so I am relying on my team to get Dawnbringer, and I will land exactly at 60k. The other thing on Mondays that we've been doing, because now we've done so many of the like one-off things, a bunch of people in the group don't have their purple skins. So we were like, you know what? Let's go in and we'll just do a whole bunch of Cloud Rest stuff for people and get anybody who doesn't have their purple skin. So hopefully we can get that for people too, because that one's kind of...
Yeah.
I don't know. That's still pretty coveted because that hard mode gets real chaotic real quick.
But no, I don't think I've completed anything in my life to that completion. Like that includes living. Like
yeah, I'm close. Some of the new trial trifectas, I would definitely have to. I just don't kind of have the time to devote to that because I would need so much practice. But we'll see. I'll just, like, now that we've got a consistent trial team that's been having a lot of fun, once we get Dawnbringer, we're moving on to Godslayer, and then I don't know.
Yeah, Godslayer. We'll deal with that
when we
right?
get there. Yep, Godslayer, Sunspire. So yeah, that's kind of like that's where I've been at the moment. The only other thing that I think is worth mentioning, kind of as a sign off, is I had mentioned March of Sacrifices being really weird.
Yeah,
and it's still really weird. I tried to help a couple people get it, and they had some luck with getting Balorg. Yeah, I think it's Balorg, whatever, big wolfy guy at the end. They had some luck with him, and one person managed to get their trifecta. For whatever reason, he can bug out. I don't know if this is just a console thing either, but he can just straight up out, and it will only put a marker over one of the people during the trap phase, like during the hunt phase, we have to lead him into the traps. It won't put one over everybody because each of you has to lead him into a trap. No, it just has one and the others have nothing. And he gets so, but he works totally fine until the last like version of him. And then he just stands completely still and never moves.
See, I'm always confused about ESO's bosses or dungeons breaking randomly. Even without any patches whatsoever happening, a dungeon can randomly just break.
Fork. Yeah.
Which means a lot of this, like, it's a backend issue. It's a server issue then. But how
very confusing.
I don't understand the technicality behind it. And I make games.
Yeah. So the thing with this, we still almost got the trifecta, which was super unfortunate that we didn't, was what we would do, we would stand in a line with us facing Balorg and our back toward the trap, and we would just light attack him and survive because it was like water phase, lightning phase. Yeah. I mean, lightning phase in the water and then poison on the lands and then he's throwing fire. And when he charges, that moves him, even though he doesn't walk because the animation moves. So we would stand in front of him and we would kite him via that attack into the thing.
Right.
And that's the problem is, even though we get to that point in like 11 minutes, it straight up takes almost to the 30-minute speedrun timer to finish the phases because it's so tedious. We were under time, but the problem also comes is if you're melting through stuff like this, we've had some situations where people will just like, okay, I've been surviving for so long, my resources are crap, and now I died. Because normally you're not in hunt phase for 9 minutes. Yeah. You're in hunt phase for like 2 minutes. So like that has unfortunately cost us. So they haven't managed to get it just yet. But super close. It's such a weird bug. We submitted some videos of it to them and stuff like that. It's very peculiar. It's not totally unable to be worked around, but you just got to be alive for longer and make sure you get there fast because it takes a long time to work around that bug if you happen to get it. So
this is why I don't do, like, I do hard modes, I don't do trifectas.
Sure.
too many things outside of my control that can go wrong that can mess up a trifecta.
Pretty much. But yeah, that's been pretty much everything we've that I've kind of tackled since the last show.
All right. Well, I mean, that surprisingly brings us to the end of the show, which is almost 1 hour, which for us is not even a show.
I was going to say, this is like an interlude.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody enjoy the interlude.
I mean, things has been quiet on the ESO and the general Elder Scrolls front, so we didn't have too much ourselves.
Sure, and that's always what happens. You get all the hype of the reveal, then they kind of keep quiet while they get everything prepped, and then everything explodes in excitement again as soon as it's like ready for launch. So
I mean, April will probably be several hour shows again. So after the they're holding back on all the information because they want to do that like hands on at the Amsterdam event. So it's probably going to be quiet until then, and then after the event, it's going to be, So we have someone new in chat. I just discovered your stream. What is your regular schedule? None.
Oh,
unfortunately,
Lord.
We don't have one. We used to back in several years ago.
Yeah, now we just try our best to never go more than 2 weeks without a podcast for you. That's basically the best we've got as a schedule currently.
The live show
sometimes
is
weekly, sometimes
random.
Bi-weekly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The live show is completely random, basically whenever we can align times, because I'm on a completely different time zone, and then everyone has different like other stuff going on. So whenever we can get at least two of us together over the weekend, we go live and record a show. But it's usually happens on like it's on almost every podcatcher out there on Monday at the latest, generally speaking. But unfortunately, we can't stick to a schedule because IRL schedules are a mess. So.
Yeah, an 8 hour time difference is shockingly difficult to work around.
yeah, and it's because we usually record like 2 to 4 hour episodes.
Yeah, that's. Like, this is much more reasonable than our usual.
Yeah. We usually record on a weekend, unless we fail to record on a weekend, and then if we manage to find time during the weekday, then it happens on a weekday.
It's pretty safe bet to assume that it's a weekend show is usually when we do it. It's almost always a weekend live show, and then a day or we try to always put the recorded version up to kick off the week once that's there. So once the live show is done, then ARC gets it all shiny edited up. We get it on podcatchers, wherever you want to watch it there. It's much more predictable for the recorded version.
Yeah. Also, apparently we don't have a Discord comment for
great. I'm glad.
Anymore, so perfect. I couldn't
Twitch.
Do that.
I'm pretty sure we did. So I'm just going to blame Twitch.
Yeah. I'm just going to put the website in. So all the links should be there that you can stay in touch and stay up to date with the show too. But yeah, welcome. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome in.
There we go. That's also an update for everyone on our schedule too.
Right. Hopefully we can just stick to bi-weekly and occasionally weekly.
Yeah. So, all right, Lotus, as usual then, where can people find you and everything that you do?
So I'm pretty much Lotus of Doom everywhere. Pretty easy to find if I have some, like if I'm actually on the platform of whatever. And the other thing that I do regularly is over at Robots Radio with Tom or Robots. We record the Elder Scrolls Lorecast every week. We actually just finished up the Daedric Bestiary, which was much more involved than we expected when we started.
And you actually have a schedule there.
We do. It over there, it is literally 9 p.m. Eastern every Thursday. That one is predictable.
Yeah. And as for me, I am everywhere under the name of Arkanir, Arkanir, except on Twitch, which I've been waiting months to change back. But on Twitch, I am on Arkanir's Quest. Or you can just go to arkanir.games, where you can find pretty much all of my information, including the professional and content creation and stuff like that. As for the show, you can follow everything we do over at talesoftamrielpodcast.com. There you can find links to all of our social media and content. Be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/UESP if you want to help support the show and earn awesome Elder Scrolls themed rewards. You can also consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes so people know that we are a real podcast, that we say real words, and sometimes it matters. Thank you all so very much for joining us on this episode of Tales of Tamriel, and we will see you all next week. Have a great one, everyone.
See you later.
When Akatosh slew Lorcan, he ripped his heart right out. He hurled it across Tamriel, and the heart was heard to shout. Red diamond, the heart and soul of men. Red diamond, protect us till the end. The laughing heart sprayed blood afar, a gout on Seer it fell. And like a dart shot to its mark down in an alien well. Magic effused the Lorcan blood to crystal red and strong. Then wild elves cut and polished it down to chimmel at a ball. Red diamond, the heart and soul of men. Red diamond, protect us till the end. When elves lost Nirn to men, Akatosh gave the stone to Saint Alesh in token of her right to sit the throne. Red diamond, the heart and soul of men. Red diamond, protect us till the end. Red diamond, protect us till